T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Herbie, it's a must-win Monday. Let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
How big would this be if the Bears are able to pull off a win on Monday night for everyone in that building?
Yeah, I think that's where it is. For everyone in that building, you go into the off week and you've got that win under your belt. You've ended this losing streak. Everyone's feeling good for the next, week or so when you're kind of getting a mental and physical break. That's good. You lose, you're 5-5. You're sort of like, we're going into this off week. We are on a 4-game losing streak. We're not doing anything right. And oh, by the way, oh crap, we got the Packers coming up this weekend. That is a really dangerous mix. One that Matt Nagy last year did not encounter, because when they got through that 4-game losing streak, they had the gift of playing the Detroit Lions. You go on a 4-game losing streak and you're handed the Packers, that's going to be a 5-game losing streak. So this game for the Bears on Monday Night Lawrence, I really do believe it is the make or break game of the season. You win it, you're still going to have a chance when you get to, late December to make the playoffs. But if you lose it, everything is crumbling around you, and this season is not going to wind up with the Bears being a playoff team.
Make me a bicycle, clown!
That's right. It's Must Win Monday here on The Score! Welcome in. My name is Lawrence Holmes, and I'm here with you until 2 o'clock. Man, do we have some guests for you. My buddy Matthew Collar, who works for himself now, which is great. The Purple Insider podcast, he's really terrific on Viking stuff. We're going to talk with him at 12:25. Joe Ostrowski, you know how I feel about Joseph. Joe is going to join us at 1. He's going to tell you the things that you should be looking to bet on in tonight's game and give you... Wait, what did I screw that up? That's right, it's Big Ann at 1. That's right, and then Joe is on at 1:25 today, and we'll talk with him about the right bets that you're going to make, because Ant's got stuff to do. The Big Ten is back. He's got all sorts of meetings and whatnot. So we will have Joe with us today at 1:25 and Big Ant on today at 1 o'clock. I am looking forward to your phone calls and your text messages on this must-win Monday. So I'm going to give you the phone number right now, 312-644-6767. Again, that's 312-644-6767. You can also text the show that way, all right? Here's what I want to hear from you. You heard Dan talking about being optimistic. I wanted to know how would you describe it? How would you describe your feelings the day of the game today? Is it resigned? Is it optimistic? Pessimistic? Are you dreading tonight's game? Let me know. And while we're getting your phone calls, and again, it's 312-644-6767. There was news after we left the air. That news was that there's going to be a different play caller tonight. Bill Lazor is going to take over the play calling for your Chicago Bears. Matt Nagy gave it up. You could tell listening to Nagy that, and I don't mean this as a pejorative, that he's desperate, that this team is desperate for a win as we go into this Monday night battle. So this morning, I was sitting there thinking about, I was like, oh, because this happens. Herbie knows this about me. I start thinking back, like, hey, do we have anything that we can give to the people that will let them know a little bit more about whatever it is that's going on? And I thought back, and then I realized that our buddy Jim Ozarski was on the show back in January, like after the Bears hire Bill Lazor. He was on the show. Now, Ozarski covers the Packers, but before he covered the Packers, he covered the Bengals, where Bill Lazor coached. So I asked him for some intel on Bill Lazor, and I think you might be encouraged. After I went back and listened to the entire interview, I think you might be encouraged by what Ozarski had to say about what Bill Lazor can and has done as an OC and as a play caller.
I think he knows how to get running backs involved, dual threat running backs. His history dating back to, he started working in the league with Joe Gibbs, believe it or not, back in the early part of the century. But Chip Kelly, Shady McCoy down in Miami, Lamar Miller became Lamar Miller there, Joe Mixon in Cincinnati. He knows how to get the most out of that position, I think, run and pass. I don't know how this fits with Matt Nagy. To be honest, Lawrence, you would know this better, but it seems like slot receivers, for whatever reason, under Bill Lazor, know what to do as well. Jarvis Landry became a Pro Bowler in Miami. Tyler Boyd, really, really good slot guy, third down guy in Cincinnati. And then finally, quarterback. Bill Lazor, the first time anyone heard of Nick Foles, Lawrence, was – under Chip Kelly, went to a Pro Bowl, 27 touchdowns, 2 picks. His position coach was Bill Lazor. Ryan Tannehill, the reason that guy got a second deal in Miami, his two best years there, Bill Lazor, the offensive coordinator under Joe Philbin. So I do think he's going to be a help in that room as well.
In your piece that you wrote back in the day when you were working for the Cincinnati Inquirer, you got a quote about his adaptability. And as you can imagine, people in Chicago are going, man, that would be great if we saw a version of that for the Bears offense, considering it's one of the biggest criticisms against Matt Nagy was his lack of adaptability as games went on and as the season went on, with proof of what his quarterback could and could not do.
Yeah, I think Bill's strongest suit, in my opinion. His offensive background is so varied. I mean, I mentioned Joe Gibbs. He worked for Dan Reeves as well. So the old school football heads listening to you know what that means in terms of the offensive background. You're talking about the roots of some of these systems, right? The wide zone, outside zone in the run game. Now, Joe Philbin was pure West Coast. Chip Kelly, obviously, with the tempo and some of that stuff. So you're right. I don't know if he's worked in a scheme like Nagy's. I mean, the offensive coordinator in Philly was Pat Shurmur. So, I think he can mold himself to fit things. I think he's also a pretty hard coach, if that makes sense. He's, like I said, a very smart guy. And so I think he coaches hard and he expects a lot out of his guys. I think the adaptability part of it and being able to kind of shift things and make it work for his guys, I think, is a strong suit.
Okay, let's be hopeful that the intel that we got is good and that maybe you see Lamar Miller catching a ball out of the backfield today, or you see them move Allen Robinson to the slot where he's pretty effective and they could get some looks for him that way. This will be Bill Lazor's show today. The Lazor Show. Pew, pew, pew. Pew, 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 pew. Tonight, we'll see, because that Vikings defense is really, really bad. So how would you describe your feelings about tonight's game? 312-644-6767 is the number. South Loop and Joe. Joe, you're on the score.
Hey, thanks for taking the call. I'm fairly confident. I'm not scared of Kirk Cousins. I think it's a question of how well the defense contains Dalvin Cook. I don't think they're going to entirely stop him. But if they can keep him to a reasonably low number of yards, say like around 100 or a little less, it all depends on what Lazor can do with this mess we have for an offense. If we can get 17 or more points, I think we have a very good chance to win, because I don't see Minnesota strong enough to put more than 20 points on this defense.
I appreciate the phone call. So that number that you brought up, 17, that's an interesting number. Because in the last three games, the three games that the Bears have lost, they've averaged 16 points a game. On the season, they averaged 20, which is third worst in the league. But 16 a game in the last three. I don't think that 17's enough. Here's how I feel. I don't want that to be the margin that the Bears defense is playing with. Even if, can you get to your season average? Can you get to 20? If they got to 20, I'd feel better about them winning the game. Just get to your season average and don't turn the ball over. Don't give that guy any short fields, none of that stuff. This texter says, when was the last time a team switched coordinators midseason and found success? They're not switching coordinators, they're switching play callers. Bill Lazor has been the offensive coordinator all season long. They're going to see if a different pair of eyes on game day might make a difference. Norwich and Mark. Hey, Mark, you're on the score.
Hey, Lawrence, how you doing?
I'm good. How would you describe your feelings on tonight's game?
Well, I feel the same way. I mean, this is do or die. I mean, I'm at the point, I'm quicker to just say if the season goes bad, then let's let it go bad. I mean, if it has to be, because this has just been pretty much garbage for the last couple seasons with this offense.
Yeah, Mark, I agree that it has not been inspiring in the least what we've seen from this offense to start things off. And you can send in a text too. It's the same number that you called, 312-644-6767. My whole thing is that if you're in a position to still fight for a playoff spot, then you do it. So if you're sitting there at 5-4, a win tonight gives you a much better chance. You pretty much eliminate the Vikings from the conversation, and you're 1-1 in division games with four division games left to go. It gives you something to look forward to while the Bears are on the bye before they have their Sunday night matchup against Green Bay. But if you lose it, I don't imagine they will give up, because they will say we have six games to play, and if we win all six of those games, look at our record, even though that will feel and sound very unrealistic. What's the scouting report on the Vikings? Is there anything to be afraid of other than Dalvin Cook? I'm going to find out the answers to those questions and more when we talk with our buddy Matthew Collar. He joins me next here on The Score.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nice choice. Matthew Collar and I like to do home and homes. So when the Bears play the Vikings, I usually hang out with him. Like I did on his podcast, the Purple Insider podcast. And I'm like, I want you to come and hang out on the Score because I want people to know more about this Vikings team. He was nice enough to join me. If you're a Vikings fan and you're not already subscribed to the Purple Insider podcast, you really, really should do it because Matthew does an incredible job of covering that team. He joins me now on the Alpamonte Ford hotline. Alpamonte Ford has 500 new and used vehicles for you to choose from out in Melrose Park, or you can go to alpamonteford.com. Matthew, how are you, sir?
I am doing great. I just wonder if Kirk Cousins can be great when the Vikings need him to be great, right? The Lizzo reference, you feel
yes.
me?
Yes, I do feel you. It's that's why Herbie's the best at this. We don't know if he can be great. We do know that he's a man from the Minnesota Vikings, though, which is key. All right, so I got questions. We talked about the Bears on your podcast. I want you to talk about this Vikings group. It seems like the number is around somewhere between 22 and 25. That's the amount of pass attempts the Vikings would like to have Kirk Cousins have, because it means that they're probably running the ball well. How did they get to this point where they're like, okay, we have to mitigate the damage with our quarterback?
Yeah, I think it's really just an ideal sort of game flow that Gary Kubiak has always preferred. And I mean, even when you go back to John Elway winning the Super Bowl, they did not ask John Elway in the late 90s to throw 40 passes a game on the teams that won the Super Bowl. They wanted to run the ball with Terrell Davis, get in favorable situations, run play actions. I mean, not a whole lot has changed, whether you go and look at even Baltimore in 2014, Gary Kubiak's there, and it's the same sort of thing. What he's looking for is a highly efficient passing game that is sort of built off of the running game and the right situations. And I think that there is a perception that the Vikings want to take the keys away from Kirk Cousins. And I think that's, I mean, it's somewhat true. But a lot of times when the game is on Kirk Cousins, that means you're not running the ball effectively. That means you're probably down in the game, and then he's throwing 40 passes. So sometimes I think there's probably too much made of that. And when you look at the efficiency for, Kirk Cousins in terms of yards per attempt, net yards per pass attempt, he's up toward the top of the league over the last 2 years under this style of offense. And I think that their ideal game is what you saw last week against Detroit, where they can run the ball effectively enough to set up play actions and deep shots down the field. Where that's been a problem against Chicago in the last couple of years is that Dalvin Cook has 86 yards in his last three games against Chicago. And then you put Kirk Cousins behind in the game, you put him in dropback situations and shotgun situations, and then Khalil Mack can just come after him. And I think that that's where someone like Patrick Mahomes is truly special, where Aaron Rodgers is truly special, is when things have not gone well and it's like, hey, quarterback, go make a play. That's not what Kirk Cousins is. And I think that, at times, because of how much he's paid, people want Kirk Cousins to be that. But just because you gave him a huge contract doesn't mean he's a different quarterback than what he actually is.
What does he say about his Monday night record of 0-9?
I think that he says sort of like, look, you usually play good teams on Monday night. It's sort of a random kind of thing, and that there's nothing to look into it. And I would mostly agree with that. I mean, I went through all of his primetime games and looked at his numbers in all of those primetime games. And in a big enough sample over his career, they come out pretty similar to his numbers for all other games. And I think part of it is when he was in Washington, those teams didn't have very good defenses. And again, on Monday Night Football, you play good teams. But there is also a thing about Kirk Cousins that he seems to be very regimented in how he just goes about his life. He once mentioned that he has an Excel sheet where he breaks down his day in 10-minute segments or something. And so I have always wondered if it throws him off a little. But I think more than anything, it's just that, nine games is kind of a very small sample and is random. And some of those games he played really well and lost. Some of those games he played really poorly. And that's kind of how it goes for Kirk Cousins. And I think that the big concern over the last few years with Cousins is outside of that playoff win against New Orleans, beating good teams has been a problem. In the regular season, he's only beaten two teams with winning records, at all. And I mean, and then he beats, you know, Green Bay this year. So it's going to be like one per year team with a winning record. And I think that, you know, that whole, it kind of ties into that whole, like, can you put it on his back and then have him carry the team? And he sort of consistently proves that he can't really do that. So I don't know if he's like cursed or anything, or if it's just sort of a random sampling of games that hasn't gone his way against good teams.
Matthew Collar of the Purple Insider podcast joins me here to talk about the Vikings. The Vikings defense used to be the defense that I look at and be like, man, they got playmakers on every level of their defense. What's happened to them over the last couple of seasons?
Well, first, I mean, defenses get old fast. Like, we were not that much younger when Seattle was number one in the league for, you know, 4 years in a row in points against. And now Seattle could not stop you, me, and a couple of your producers there. I mean, it's like, it's incredible how fast teams get old and contracts build up. And it's hard to keep these groups together. And that's really what happened. I mean, they lost Everson Griffin, Xavier Rhodes, Trey Waynes, like a lot of the different talented players, and a couple of the talented players that they had left got hurt. Danielle Hunter out for the year, Anthony Barr out for the year. And so I think that along the way, they had been trying to draft players in the later rounds that had like high ceilings and a lot of potential for the case when this defense finally got old. The problem is they just haven't really hit on a whole heck of a lot of those draft picks. So you end up with, you know, Asadi Adenabo is a decent player starting at defensive end, but he's much more of a rotational backup than a starter. You have someone like, Jalen Holmes, who was a fourth round pick a couple of years ago, that's finally getting his first chance to play and hasn't really flashed a whole lot. Jaleel Johnson, same story. They thought that these guys would be, when they drafted them, the next Everson Griffin, Danielle Hunter that they would develop. And it just hasn't really worked out that way because that's late round picks for you. And then, you know, the cornerbacks were really good in the first part of Zimmer's era. And then all of a sudden you drop them into a season where there's no preseason, there's no OTAs, there's no mini camp. Everything's kind of weird. And then they say, hey, go guard Julio Jones, go guard DK Metcalf, go guard Davante Adams. And it's been a disaster, as you might expect. And then they've had injuries there as well. So they're playing with, I think, their fourth or fifth cornerback as their number two tonight. And then a guy that they took off the street just 2 weeks ago is going to be their number three tonight. So, you know, it's kind of been like an accumulation of everything. And yet I still think, despite their numbers, Mike Zimmer has done a really great job scheming to at least give them a chance. So even though their numbers are bad, they still have succeeded in the red zone, succeeded on third downs based on his schemes. And honestly, that's told you the value of having a great defensive coach, I think.
Let's talk about Mr. Cook. He has been the NFC Player of the Week this past week. If you look at what he's done, both catching the ball and running the ball over the last 2 weeks, it's been extremely impressive. When is he at his best?
Well, I think he's at his best when the offensive line is actually competent, which I think we're seeing the maximum Dalvin Cook, because their second-round pick, Ezra Cleveland, has been thrown in at right guard after being a left tackle for his whole life. And it's been quite impressive, honestly, to see a guy play a brand-new position and be an instant difference maker. And they went from being one of the worst interior lines in the NFL to now all of a sudden being pretty competent. And then in the run game, Garrett Bradbury, their center, is just flat out excellent. I mean, that's what they drafted him for, is being a great zone running blocker. And he's been everything from that perspective that they wanted, not so much in pass blocking, but in the run blocking game, he's been great. So when they are ticking now, all of a sudden you see Gary Kubiak starting to mix it up. And so he's doing a lot of different schematical things, and Dalvin Cook's a very smart player. He understands kind of where he's supposed to be, which guy he needs to beat, and it's kind of all coming together. I mean, Dalvin deserves all the credit because he is incredibly explosive, and he's always going to make the first guy miss. But what's been different over these last 2 weeks in comparison to previous weeks and even previous years is the fact that the offensive line is doing really well. And, you know, a major part of this, though, has also been the tight end blocking and Irv Smith Jr. and his emergence as, honestly, a really, really good blocking tight end. And he's out tonight. And I think that's a huge deal for the Vikings to have him out because they're bumping someone up from the practice squad and they like to use, you know, two and three tight ends. And, I think that could be an issue. But, you know, I think it's really when the blocking and Dalvin Cook's raw talent are coming together, that's when you see an unstoppable running game. But if there's any team that's going to stop it, it's going to be the Bears.
What have the Vikings said worries them about this particular Bears team?
I think it's entirely Akeem Hicks. I mean, I too am afraid of Akeem Hicks because he is, I mean, like every time I've gone back and watched him play against the Vikings, which he did not play last year, and then it was the Eddie Goldman, you know, show last year, but obviously Goldman not there. Every time I've seen him play against the Vikings, he annihilates them. I mean, he eats them alive. And so now you have a rookie guard who I just said has been playing really well, but he has not played Akeem Hicks. He went up against Grady Jarrett and got beat pretty bad a couple of times, but even Grady Jarrett's not the powerhouse that Akeem Hicks is. And so that matchup is going to be huge. And even Mike Zimmer said, yeah, this is going to be one heck of a test for the Vikings offensive line and Ezra Cleveland, because, you know, there's just game wreckers. There's players who can individually on the defensive side ruin your game. And Khalil Mack is one of them. Akeem Hicks is one of them. And also, Mike Zimmer showed a lot of respect for Roquan Smith as well and how he's emerged as a great playmaker. And so when your whole key is starting with your running back and the other team has a monstrous defensive tackle, one of the best linebackers in the league, and then a pass rusher who terrifies you, you know, that's really the recipe for what can shut down a Vikings offense that's really been rolling.
I feel like tonight's game, we're talking with Matthew Collar of the Purple Insider podcast. You should subscribe to it, especially if you're a Vikings fan. And I'm on the latest episode, so check that out. We had a lot of fun talking about the Bears. I feel like both of these teams, franchise-wise, not just the 2020 version, are at a crossroad. And this game is something that could kind of exacerbate changes amongst both of them. Is that a fair assessment of what's happening with the Vikings? I feel like if they win this game and they get to go, oh, we've won three in a row, we're back in this playoff race at least for another week, versus they lose this game and they start looking at the possibility of not just not making the playoffs, but maybe making wholesale changes as far as their organization goes.
No, you're absolutely right that this could be a huge swing game for, I don't think how fans feel about the team, but I think how ownership feels about the team. I think fans are still very skeptical of this team. They would have to get on a 6 or 7 game winning streak and just fly through the second half of the schedule here, which is possible with the schedule. But I mean, they would really have to be right there in the playoff race for fans to totally buy into this, considering how far down they still are. But I think what ownership wants to see is the progress over the second half of the season. They want to see the young players getting better. They want to believe in the future. They want to believe in Mike Zimmer as the coach who can turn a team around that had so many things go wrong for it. And if you win here tonight, you stay in the race. And I think it matters to the owners. And again, not so much to the fans here, but to the owners, it matters how many weeks you're in the hunt graphic when they show it on TV. And I don't think that the Vikings ownership likes to feel irrelevant. I think that even, you know, signing Kirk Cousins to an extension said, we don't accept a rebuild. We want to make sure that we're still in that, you know, 9-7, 10-6. Can we still, you know, compete for a playoff spot? But if they lose tonight, I mean, it's over. Like there's no conversation whatsoever about the playoffs after that. The team in the 7th seed, I think, is 6-3 right now. So you're never catching them if you lose. And then I think we're going right back to the discussions of a couple of weeks ago of what is Mike Zimmer's future? What is Kirk Cousins' future? Should they draft a quarterback in a quarterback draft? Like all those things, that switch goes right back on with a loss. With a win, you get to kind of still, in my opinion, you get to still pretend. You get to go play like little kids in imagination land, like you're in the playoff hunt when you're really still not, in my opinion. But at least you get to still have that and you can talk about it. But if not, the rest of the season, I think, is a miserable trudge to the end for this team.
Matthew, as always, I appreciate your time. Hopefully when we get the opportunity to do this again, there'll be better times for at least one of us. Hopefully there's no tie tonight, because that would be bad, I think, for everyone involved of us wasting 3.5 hours. Sir, good luck with your project. I'm really happy that you've gone independent with the Purple Insider podcast. It's a great lesson, and I appreciate you and your time.
Yeah, thanks for having me, and I look forward to the next Home and Home.
Absolutely. That is Matthew Collar. Support him if you're a Vikings fan, and support his pod, because he was working in the business, and then the business changed, and he changed with it, and he is living off his podcast, and God bless him for that. The Purple Insider podcast. We need to take a break. If you want to jump in and let me know how you feel about tonight's game, 312-644-6767 is the number that you can call and that you can text. I also have a red zone confession that I'd like to talk about. We'll do that next here on The Score.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
A little nugget of news as it pertains to the White Sox. James Fegan had tweeted this out this morning. Like, you might be seeing, the folks in Maricopa County dropped the charges against Tony La Russa. They did, so that they can refile the charges properly against Tony La Russa. So that's still a thing. That's still going on. Never forget that it's still going on. All right. I wanted to, before we get into some hardcore analysis with Anthony Heron at 1 o'clock, which we usually have him on Mondays at 1. We're going to do the same thing today. I wanted to let you in on something, and I wanted to ask a question of you. And we don't have a ton of time, but this happened to me this past weekend where I'm sitting there. And so the new place, so I left Hyde Park and now I'm in the South Loop. And so the building that I'm in has RCN, and it doesn't have Xfinity. So I obviously, like with Xfinity, I had like all the different things that I wanted for my television viewing habits. But this place comes with RCN. So there's no choice of me moving over my service from Xfinity to RCN. I tell you all of that to tell you that I had a good sports package, as Steve Dahl would say. I have Marquee, I have NBC Sports Chicago, so I'm taken care of on the Cubs and White Sox side. I have NFL Network, I have all the ESPN stuff. The thing that I was missing was Red Zone. And for a couple of weeks, I was just sitting here on Sundays like, I don't need Red Zone. I'll just focus in on these games. That's why I was watching all of the Vikings-Packers game, even though that game was kind of a slog, even with Dalvin Cook doing what he did. So yesterday I sat there and I was like, am I really not going to watch Red Zone for the rest of the season? And here was my thought process. If you look at this past weekend where the Bears are on Monday night, so all Sunday you've got games. It's the same thing next weekend because the Bears are off next week. And then the week after that, you've got all the day games because the Bears are playing on Sunday Night Football. And I said, am I really going to deny myself the high of Red Zone for 3 weeks? And I decided, no, I'm not going to do that. So I bit the bullet, and I'm paying extra to get Red Zone. I only wanted to tell you that so that you could understand where I was coming from while I ask you this question. Are you forever changed by Red Zone as far as football viewing goes? I am someone that I can focus on a game. If the Bears are playing and I'm covering that game, or tonight, if I'm watching, I can focus on the game of the team that I'm supposed to be paying attention to. If I don't have that team available for me, then I need all of it. I need the entire league. And let me tell you something. I had myself a time yesterday watching the NFL for 7 hours straight. And the way that the day was constructed, they should do that every single week. Don't front load it. Don't give me 8 games at noon and 3 games at 3. 5 and 6, 6 and 5. That works out really well. But I think that we have all been forever changed by that. I don't know, other than the island games, other than Thursday night, Monday night, Sunday night, if I can even watch pro football without the Bears and in just in a single solitary way. I don't want to be trapped on Sunday morning and afternoon. I don't want to be trapped with a bad game. I don't want to be trapped with an entertaining game if there are other entertaining games going on. This is what happened to me. I was sitting there at 11 o'clock yesterday going, just do it, dummy. It's $60. And right now, whether it's Uber Eats or Grubhubs, I'm spending that on dinner occasionally. Just bite the bullet and go get Red Zone. I know I sound like a Red Zone commercial. I am not getting any money from Red Zone. I'm not Andrew Siciliano. I don't get any money from them.
Did you get on the right one?
Yeah.
You got Scott Hansen instead of...
Yeah, I got Scott. Scott had a rough day yesterday, though. He had a real rough day. He was out there seeing LeGarrette Blount when LeGarrette Blount wasn't there. Like, all sorts of stuff. Had a rough day. But I'm not here to allow CBS or Fox to tell me what game I have to watch. Damn it, I want to watch points being scored, and I want to watch it now. It's my money, and I need it now. That was me yesterday, just sitting there on the couch going, I was basically like Ferris Bueller's Day Off. He'll just keep calling me and calling me. I'll go. That was me yesterday. And then it took like 2 seconds. Like, I had just paid the bill. And I said, oh, I can just one click. I can get Red Zone and then I'll be happy. And then I went over there and it just had all the classic NFL music because it was an hour before kickoff. And I was like, there was just a relaxed version of myself that was sitting there watching football yesterday. And it was terrific. Got some chocolate covered pretzels, sat there and watched the games and had myself a time.
Lawrence, I make it akin to when you remember the Last Dance was on and you look at the scores. You're like, what's the score of this game? How do we watch basketball at the time with no scores on the bottom line? What the hell?
Yes.
And now that we have it, like, I can't go back. And so you've introduced this Red Zone. I can't go back to just watching regular TV.
Yeah, I can't go back, man. I can't. And it's a narcotic for all of us. It is an absolute narcotic. For those of you who are making suggestions, I already have the cable package that we have in the building. And I already have all my other add-ons. So I don't need your suggestions about Sling or anything else. Like, it's a done deal. Maybe at the end of the year, I'll switch it out. And I did get it prorated. So I'm not paying all of the $60. But even still, that's what I'm paying for dinner. It's what I was paying for dinner. And I can have Red Zone for what I pay for dinner?
You having gold flakes on this dinner? What the hell? $60 for dinner?
Dude, have you ordered from Grubhub or Uber Eats?
Yes.
Order a meal. Like a nice one.
Well, you and know I mean, me, I'm at Whitey Cassell's. That's all me.
By the time that you get through with the fee and the tax and the tip, you're talking like $50. Yesterday, though, I was like, I'm going to go to Culver's. And it didn't cost me $50. It cost me $10. It was delicious.
That should be the move every night.
It's pretty close. It's pretty close. Culver's is, I even got myself a concrete mixer. Delicious. Vanilla ice cream, sea salt caramel, Oreo. You're welcome.
They're mad. You said ice cream. It's custard.
I'm sorry, custard. Sorry, Culver's, with your delicious custard. Vanilla custard, sea salt caramel, chopped up Oreos. You're welcome. Big Ann Heron joins me to talk about that narcotic of Red Zone and Bears-Vikings. We get back on it next here on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.